2 Kings chapter 1 and verses 5 to 8. On the surface, this doesn't seem to be adding very much. It's more or less a repeat of what we had in the previous verses. Ahaziah has sent messengers to consult Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron. But the angel of the Lord has told Elijah of this, and given him the commission to go and intercept these messengers and stop them with the challenge. Is it because there is no God in Israel that you're going off to consult Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? You can go back and tell your master. You won't get off your bed. You're going to die there. And that was the commission Elijah received. And verse 4, so Elijah went. Now we take up at verse 5. When the messengers returned to the king. Now let's just stop there. In other words, Elijah did what he was told, and God blessed his word, and he had success, for the messengers went back to Ahaziah. Praise God, the word of God cannot return empty, vain, to God. It must accomplish the purpose to which he sends it. Blessed be God that Elijah's discourse, however short it was, perhaps this is just a summary of it, nevertheless, his words had a telling, lasting effect. The messengers went back. The king was staggered, surprised. He asked, he said, well, why have you come back? Well, a man met us. No, they didn't know who it was. And he spoke to us. He said to us, well, what did he say? He said, go back to the king who sent you, and tell him. And then they repeated the words of Elijah, the prophet. Is it because there's no God in Israel that you're sending men to consult Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? You're not going to leave this bet. You're going to die on it. You will certainly die. And so the message gets home to the king. Praise God. Elijah's word is not in vain. God's word is not in vain. It accomplishes that purpose. It reaches the man. Blessed be God when discourses from the word of God, when the scripture itself, when God by his spirit makes the word reach the people. It reached Ahaziah. But look at the king's response. Verse 7. The king asked them, What kind of man was it that you met, who came to meet you and told you this? He wasn't interested in the discourse. He wasn't interested in the solemn import of it. Oh, no. He was interested in the peripherals. Who was it? What was he like? And they tell him, well, he was a man with a garment of hair and a leather belt around his waist. Reminds me of John the Baptist. He's not dressed in fine clothes. He's not dressed up in robes and all the finery. No. He's just dressed plainly, roughly. Ah, said the king, I know who this man is. And he goes back to his father's day. He knows who it is. That was Elijah the Tishbite. And there's a world of meaning in that. He didn't like what he was hearing. He knew what this man was saying. He knew this was a prophet of God. Ahaziah knew that this was a word from the Lord. But he's interested in peripherals. He's not interested in the main thrust of the word. It doesn't seem to reach his mind and his heart and his life. What can we say from this? Well, for me as a preacher, it is an encouragement. My words seem to get lost in the air. They seem to go nowhere. They seem to be forgotten. But by the Spirit of God, he can bring them back again. And I do cling to that promise. And I urge all my brothers and sisters to cling to this promise. Whatever we do for God, his word cannot return empty to him. It must accomplish the purpose to which he sends it. Praise God, he uses strange means. But it is carried sometimes by other messengers. By those who heard it, they pass it on in repeating it to others. When you talk to others about what you've heard, you're passing on the discourse, the word of God in that discourse. Of course, the prophet is speaking the word of God. I'm only speaking on the word of God. I'm preaching on the word of God. But nevertheless, God uses the preaching, the foolishness of preaching, to save and to sanctify. It's a warning to us when we hear not to be concerned with the peripherals. You'll get it after every discourse. The odd things the man did, the strange things he did, what he was wearing, or some small incident. What about the word of God? What about what God was saying in the word? What about the import of the word? What about the challenge of it? Don't let's be lost and diverted by the peripherals, the externals. May we go for the marrow of the preaching, and may the marrow of the preaching go for us. And that seems to me the point here. Look at the repetition. Is God the Spirit? I'm sure he is. Drawing our attention to this, the authority of Elijah, the grip, the grit in the discourse. We want more of this, my friend. There's too much candy floss today in the pulpit. Too much boring lecture. We want this kind of grip. You are going to. You are not going to. This is for you. 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 A powerful, effective, spiritual word from God. The demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Well, that's what I see in this discourse. An encouragement to us as believers. A challenge to us as hearers of the gospel. A witness to us of how God works his purpose and accomplishes his end. How did Elijah have any chance of reaching the king? But the message got back there. May my words in this feeble discourse travel much further than I can ever imagine. May it reach across borders, penetrate into the hardest hearts and minds, and may the word of God come home with living power and effective power. Blessed be God for this little passage of scripture. It does encourage us to go on. And may I be taken up with what God says to me. And however odd and eccentric the messenger, it's the message that counts. May God bless his word today, wherever it goes, through whatever means it travels. May God bless his word. May it come home with such power that it may be convicting and converting and edifying in every place, in every circumstance, sinners to be saved and saints to be sanctified, and all for the glory of the triune God. Amen.